Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We're halfway through our show. It's been full phone lines. There's a lot to talk about, of course, with a pair of blockbuster trades in both baseball and basketball. I felt like Greg Popovich was as close as Coach Pop could get to being giddy or even happy. I don't know that Greg Popovich and giddy go in the same sentence, but he was verbose for Coach Pop. He had a lot to say. Complimentary to Kawhi, his Spurs legacy, refusing to rip him or to even talk about the past. He also said, I don't talk about Tim Duncan either. And I couldn't be happier is what he said about acquiring DeMar DeRozan, who has 3 years and $83 million left on his contract. I mean, who wouldn't be almost giddy to acquire a guy who averaged 23 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds per game in a team that had a franchise record 59 wins and the top seed in the other conference. Now, they lose Danny Green as well, so both Kawhi and Green made that defense very tight, very physical at times. On the perimeter, as Kawhi could play anywhere, but on the perimeter as well as on the wings. And now we'll see how San Antonio emerges from this. They've brought some previous guys back, the re-signed guys. They like their veterans. They like guys who understand the system. DeMar will learn that quickly. And then on the flip side, Kawhi, who's got 1 year left on his deal, has indicated he's not interested in re-signing with Toronto or in staying there. And so it's a big risk by the Raptors, unless, of course, they would win a title. Then you say, who cares if you leave? We got our ring. I mean, let's be honest. It would stink to give up one of the faces of your franchise, but this is a business. And the goal, the ultimate goal, is to be the last team standing. So if it took Kawhi and Danny Green and trading DeMar for them to get the ring is the thing. The ring is the bling is the thing. And so what's your reaction now? It's been about 24 hours. In fact, it was this time yesterday that I was reading the Insta story that DeMar DeRozan put up. I hope that he's happy in San Antonio. Because it's tough when guys get blindsided, when they're happy in their current situation and they're productive and the rug gets pulled right out from underneath them. But Toronto needed a change. It needed a change at the top. It needed a change with its leadership. It needed a change in heart. It needed a change in perspective. It needed a shakeup. Because what they were doing wasn't working. And I'll say this until I'm blue in the face so that everyone can hear me. It's not about losing to LeBron James and the Cavaliers. It's about how they lost. It's about not being mentally tough enough. It's about not fighting back. You know, the Indiana Pacers lost the first round of the Cavaliers as well. But was there any part of them that laid down or didn't put up a fight? The Raptors did the exact opposite, which is why the series was over in 4 games. It's not just about LeBron. That's cheesy. That's too easy and cheesy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside the Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We're going to get to a few more calls here. And then coming up, I want you to hear from Tiger Woods. He is teeing off at 10:21 Eastern time. So about 6 hours and 10 minutes from now, that's 7:21 West Coast time. For those of you who are looking for some golf over breakfast,
Pacific time.
Steph Curry will be watching right along with you. Phil Mickelson is at 1 under par, just teeing off on the fifth hole. So he's one of the early golfers to go out. By the way, at Carnoustie, the hashtag brown is beautiful. It's so brown. It's what did Laura Davies tell us when she called in after winning the U.S. Women's Senior Open? She said it's like a concrete, like a freeway. That's what she said. She said the fairways are like freeways. And she was going to sit on her couch and she was going to watch the best player in the world struggle. And then she was going to realize, oh, that's going to be me in a couple of weeks because they have their Women's British Open coming up in a couple of weeks and a tournament to get ready before that. So, yeah, that was kind of fun to hear from a Hall of Famer that she was going to sit and watch the best men's players in the world struggle at Carnoustie with fairways that were like freeways. So, yeah, watching Phil Mickelson now. Jordan Spieth tees off. Actually, he tees off just before 5 a.m. Eastern, so that's before our show is over, within the hour. And then Rory McIlroy tees off just before 8 o'clock Eastern time, just before 5 Pacific. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio on Facebook and also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And let's get to some calls here. 855-212-4227. Trosky is in Georgia. Trosky, what's your reaction to Kawhi Leonard?
Hey, Amy. A wise man once told me the pathway of least resistance is the road less traveled. And I think this is a blessing. You know, everything is official now. This may be a blessing for Kawhi. Because the way that West is constructed, it's going to be a gauntlet. You could be a 50-win team and lose in the first round. Mm-hmm. But if Kawhi, I'm hoping Kawhi comes to play with a chip on his shoulder. And not only does Kawhi have, of course, he's going to be the franchise, the face of the franchise for Toronto. He has a chance to be the face of the Eastern Conference. So, and his pathway to the finals is a lot easier on the East. So I'm just hoping that he comes with a chip on his shoulder and really comes out to prove himself.
I hope so, too. And the fact that he's in a contract year should provide some extra incentive. Interestingly enough, if he would stay in Toronto, if he would sign there with the Toronto Raptors after the season, he could make 5 years, $190 million from the Raps, which would be the max contract extension. If he leaves, it's only 4 years, $141 million. So I know that that's still a lot of money. It's buku bucks. Who can actually spend that kind of money? I couldn't. But we're talking about $50 million leaving it on the table. So that's another advantage Toronto might have in negotiations.
And one more thing. Let's just say he decides, you know, he doesn't like Toronto and goes to L.A., whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers. With the way, with the core that Golden State has, there's no guarantee that he's going to win a championship with either one of those L.A. teams because the way Golden State with their core, they're probably on the run to win maybe three or four more championships. So why not, instead of facing them in the playoffs, why not face them in the finals? Hey, I love you, show, Amy.
All right, Trosky, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee anywhere. I mean, let's just say for the sake of argument, I don't want it to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but let's just say two of the Warrior starters get hurt next year and they're out for the year. I mean, there's no way that you can say just because Kawhi goes to Toronto along with Danny Green that they're all of a sudden going to be the team from the East. There's no way you can say, you know, one of those LA teams isn't going to be able to challenge. I mean, that's, first of all, we haven't even started. We got to get anywhere close to the season tipping off, so there could be more roster moves. Eric Smith of the Toronto Raptors Play-by-Play Network believe that there will be some more roster moves. We don't know what the final products will look like anyway. It's just so far in the distance. It's like me trying to give you my Super Bowl pick right now. Oh, my gosh. That's one of the things about getting close to training camps that I'm so excited about.
Quickly, Amy, what's your Super Bowl?
Uh-huh. The thousands of Super Bowl picks that we will have around the country. Because what could you possibly do with your time that would be any more entertaining than making a Super Bowl pick in August? Jack is listening in Texas. Jack, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Toronto, I think they've lost their mind. I can't believe they got rid of that guy.
DeMar.
I mean, that, there's a lot of people I'd have got rid of on the Raptors to try to make it work. He's not one of them. I mean, you heard their play-by-play guy talking about how he's the best, considered the best player in franchise history.
One of them,
right,
for sure.
Right up there with Tracy McGrady, and this guy wants to stay, you know, and if you don't re-sign Kawhi and he's gone, then you just gave up a guy, and we'll talk about rebuilding. You might not get that guy. You might be Sacramento or Orlando, and you might be losing for a long time. So
that's a good point.
I think the guy's special. He's one of the best scorers in the league. I know I heard these people on the national media today talking about he's not an all-star in the West. I mean, he can score it as good as anybody, especially at two guard in the West. He's incredible, and I wish him all the best. You know, they got a guy that wants to stay there, and it's pretty dumb. You know, and he's had his moments. I mean, he's beat Cleveland in playoff games before. He beat him with Kyrie Irving and LeBron twice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They did. The Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. 3 years ago, sorry.
And he showed up in the playoffs in other series, too. And all I'm saying is this isn't the guy. This isn't the guy I'm trying to get rid of. I mean, I might get rid of everybody else, but this guy's not it. You know, he's staying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It feels like that. I mean, I don't know what else Toronto offered. Maybe that was the bottom line. In order to get Kawhi, in order to get Danny Green, you're half to give up DeMar DeRozan. And the Raptors definitely need to make changes, but I would agree with you. It feels like everybody else would have been a better change than the guy who wants to be there so desperately and is one of your franchise scorers.
Yeah, and you know what? And we also never seen Kawhi play without three Hall of Famers and a Hall of Fame coach, and we'll see how the fit is, and mm-hmm. and he's going to leave anyway. So it's, you know, first-year coach, I mean, that's getting used to a new system. I mean, winning in the playoffs, that's not going to be easy. So, you know, good luck to him. You know, he's always seemed like a stand-up guy. I'm not a Spurs fan. I'm a Mavs fan. So this is an unbiased opinion. So I think San Antonio got a pretty good deal, and I think somebody's going to be fired in Toronto very soon.
Well, somebody already has been. So we'll see. Well, maybe we'll give him a year before that happens again.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Jack.
Anyway, thank you.
I appreciate the phone call in Dallas. Thanks so much. 855-212-4227 coming up. The early stages of the Open Championship. Phil Mickelson is out there on the course, soon to be followed by Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods and Brooks Koepka, who just won the U.S. Open. There's a lot to come at Carnoustie. We want you to hear from Tiger, who's back into the Open for the first time since 2015, and Spieth, who's the defending champion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Carnival Golf.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
The third major on the golf calendar is underway. First round of the Open Championship in Carnoustie, Scotland. And the leaders on the course, they're about halfway through their first round. Eric Van Rooyen at -3, Matthew Southgate, Danny Willett, both at -2. Phil Mickelson is right there in the mix at 1 under par through 5 holes, I believe. Now, I got it up here on the Golf Channel, was carrying the early coverage. Soon we're going to get the reason that the galleries are out there in Carnoustie. Who do they want to see? Well, Tiger Woods, of course. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tiger tees off in the Open Championship for the first time since 2015. And as excited as the galleries are, that is not unparalleled by how excited Tiger is to be relevant again in major championships.
This is our oldest championship, and and to come back to such a historic site just brings back so many great memories. This is my 4th championship here, and just brings back so many great memories from playing as an amateur and obviously the 2 Opens I've played. So looking forward to getting out there.
Tiger Woods says Carnoustie is his best chance to win a 15th career major, a 15th Grand Slam. Freeways. That's how one professional golfer described the fairways at Carnoustie. So it's certainly not going to be easy. It's going to be a difficult challenge. Not the same as the U.S. Open, of course, because we're talking about links golf. But right now, the difficulty quotient, the degree of difficulty, I think you should get extra points like they do in gymnastics. If your routine is more difficult, you automatically have a higher starting point. Maybe that should be the case because the fairways are flat out brown. You get these green spots in the middle of the golf course where the greens are. Also the tee boxes too. But otherwise, it's brown, but brown can be beautiful. We know Tiger Woods has played well in stretches in 2018. He's made some cuts. He's challenged on Sundays here and there. The issue has been not putting together his whole game, the whole package, when he needed it. So lately, it's been the putter that's failed him to the point where he actually switched putters. But he feels good going into his first round at 10:21 Eastern time.
Each tournament I keep coming back to, I keep feeling a little bit better because I'm starting to play some golf again. My feels are much better than they were at the beginning of the year, and I feel like I have a better understanding of my game and my body and my swing. Much more so than I did at Augusta.
My feels are much better than they were at the beginning of the year. Does that have anything to do with his glutes? Tiger Woods is the reason why people will be paying attention. Let's see if he makes the cut. At this major, did not make the cut at the U.S. Open. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Jordan Spieth is the defending champ. Last year, minus 12. Three strokes clear of the field. It was his third major championship. It was his first claret jug. And man, he did not enjoy parting ways with that shiny trophy.
I took it to, you know, all the places that allowed me to get to where I am today. My family was able to take it around. Members of the team were able to take it. Just, it's the coolest trophy that our sport has to offer. And so having to return that was certainly difficult.
It's a little bit like the Stanley Cup where you get time with it. It's your BFF. So Jordan Spieth was to the claret jug as Alex Ovechkin is to the Stanley Cup when he had possession of it. And Spieth last year won at Royal Birkdale in Southport, England. And it was, I want to say as dominant as for him as his Masters win. But it was one in which he was in control, and you could tell that he had the feels as well. It was a Jordan Spieth who looked like the guy that many people expect will be the next great American golfer. And he's had a really inconsistent 2018. I mean, he struggled. He didn't make the cut at the U.S. Open either. He's not been playing his best golf. And he said he needed some time off, and he took that time off and enjoyed it. We'll see what he does when his first round begins. He is at, 4:58 Eastern time. So he's actually coming up within the next half hour. And the Golf Channel is showing him live right now on the practice range. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Rory McIlroy, this guy is from Northern Ireland, of course, and won at Royal Liverpool, which was in England in 2014. So for him, there's a lot of good memories about the Open Championship, including where he's from, of course. And he recognizes that this could be the toughest field in an Open of all time.
There's 156 guys in the field, and, you know, there's probably over half of them that have a realistic chance of winning this golf tournament. So, and look, I didn't play in the previous eras, but I don't think it was that many. I don't think there was as many as half the field that had a realistic chance to win.
So Rory McIlroy obviously would be thrilled to win the Open because of what it means to him, because of what it means in his country and in Great Britain. To have a second one, that's rarefied territory right there. All right, so early on through 10 holes, Eric Van Ruin is at minus 3, and he's got the early lead. But so far, that's the only guy who is that low under par. A couple of guys at minus 2, and then Phil Mickelson Did he just bogey? Because it looks like he dropped back. I gotta find him. I wonder if he hit another ball when it was moving on the green. Don't you worry, I'm gonna find him. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Sometimes, have you ever tried scrolling through the leaderboard and the scores for a golf tournament, and you're looking for someone, and you're looking for someone, and you see every other name except for his? Yes, Phil Mickelson did just drop a shot on the fifth. He must have bogeyed because he was at minus one, and now he's at even.
But Carnival golf.
Still in the mix. Freeway golf, if you must know.
My feels are much better than they were.
It's good to know. I'm so happy to hear that. 855-212-4227. Let's squeeze in one call here. John is in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love your show, by the way. And I just wanted to call in and give a Torontonian's perspective on the trade. First of all, I think I can speak for a lot of us out here saying we're really hurt and surprised. Hmm. A little bit excited and very hopeful. After the trade was made, there's been reports he doesn't want to play in Toronto. They're stupid. They lost the trade. They got hijacked. And then a few hours later, I get a notification from a Bleacher Report saying that he is warming up to the idea. So if we can get him to re-sign a contract in Toronto, we won the trade hands down.
Not knowing how DeMar is going to play in San Antonio or how things might work out moving forward, that's a big if. But yes, if you could, if by you, I mean Toronto, the fan base, the Raptors, if that could convince Kawhi to stay, plus the extra $50 million that he could get with another year on his contract, to stay in Toronto as opposed to going home, that's why he wanted to play in Los Angeles, because it's home for him. And so that would be a massive coup. It's not anything to do with Toronto. It's about the fact that it's not Los Angeles, which is
so where did Paul George.
He wanted to go. No, I agree with that. You're absolutely right. And so a lot of it's going to be about winning. A lot of it's going to be about the culture. It's going to be about how he fits with his teammates. It's going to be about everything, you know, the total package and a year to get acclimated.
Well, and I'll just leave this final note, and I'll get off the phone with you. And thanks again for taking my call. To keep it a Canadian perspective here, Wayne Gretzky.
Do you speak for all of Canada?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you speak for all of Canada?
Well, you'll like this analogy. Wayne Gretzky got traded.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say no one else can? Babe Ruth got traded.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't have to tell me. There's no such thing as irreplaceable or invincible or anything like that. I mean, this is sports. It's a business. We're fans, right? And we get to enjoy it as a fan does. But players, teams, owners, it's big business for them. And when you have a situation like they did in San Antonio or they did in Toronto, where change is required, I mean, it's never going to be easy, but it's got to be done.
We will miss him very much, though.
Of course, he
had the city's heart 100%. We will miss him, and I think he will miss us too.
Thanks, yeah, the Amy. City had his heart too. All right, John, thank you so much for your phone call. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about Toronto as I do about Los Angeles when it comes to Manny Machado. They got a huge head start. I mean, they have an opportunity now in both these cases, with Machado, who's coming to the end of his deal, and with Toronto, who's got a chance now over the next year to woo Kawhi Leonard, to let him see how good it could be to be the star in Toronto, especially if the team can win and bust through that glass ceiling that they've created for themselves, actually, over the past couple of years. I mean, this is the best way to court him. We're talking about a year-long courting process. Forget wooing a guy in the Hamptons. You have a year to convince him that this is the best place for him, plus an extra $50 million that you can offer him. I mean, I'd take those odds, especially if it came with a ring. Babe Ruth was traded for $25,000. How funny is that? We're talking about $191 million that Kawhi could earn if he re-signed in Toronto, and Babe Ruth got traded for $25,000. That's taxes on like one game for an NBA player.
That is a high-class problem.
Yeah, hashtag first world problems. Let's see, A-Law Radio to find me on Twitter. I appreciate all of your tweets about the show and that you like the show. That's awesome. We're glad to keep company. Also on our Facebook page, you're weighing in. So whatever your response is to the trades, that's great. Coming up, Jim Kelly inspires even more off the field than he did when he was on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Generally, I don't watch award shows anymore, and it doesn't matter what kind of award show it is, whether it's sports, whether it's music, whether it's movies, whether it's TV. I used to watch them religiously, and I guess I just outgrew them. They're not as interesting to me anymore, which is fine. We morph, we change. And so I don't watch them. In fact, Wednesday was a night for me to watch Gone with the Wind. It was on TV. I discovered it after it went running when I was eating dinner, and I was over the moon excited. I didn't have time to watch the whole thing because it's really long, but I recorded the rest of it on my DVR. So now I can watch more of it on Thursday when I should be packing, but instead I'm procrastinating. So I didn't watch the ESPYs. But there is one particular award that I always go back and catch the speech. If it's not live, then I make sure I watch it after the fact. And that is the award for the Jimmy V. It's the honor for the Jimmy V Award for perseverance. And one of the reasons that it means a lot to me is because for 8 years, I worked at my previous network and was part of the V Foundation auction on the radio. And it was one of my favorite days of the entire year, right up there with getting to do a show after a team wins a championship. I loved being part of the V Foundation auction, and there were different packages that over the course of a few years we had available for people to bid on. I took a couple to a game at Fenway Park once. I took a couple to a game at Yankee Stadium. I did some other fun packages where we hosted winners. And I've actually made some friends that I'm still in touch with. So it was phenomenal to be part of that because it's so much bigger than sports. And because you never know what dollar might be donated this year or next year that could be the last dollar that's needed to have the breakthrough to find the cure for cancer. The technical advances that they've made and the breakthroughs in science and in treatment and in the different medicines now that cancer patients can take, it's amazing. I mean, we're talking about so close to finding a cure with all the different ways that they can look at genetics and DNA and different chromosomes and different body chemical makeup and all that jazz. I mean, you know as well as I do that it's just a matter of time. And so we need to continue raising money because cancer is a disease that affects everyone in some way or another, whether it's us personally, whether it's a family member, a friend. Right now, I have a very good friend of mine who is in the midst of battling an aggressive form of breast cancer. She first had a surgery, and the doctors were confident that they got all of the cancer, even after looking at some scans. But she's now going through multiple rounds of chemo because they want to be sure that there's absolutely no way this cancer can return or can pop up in a different part of her body. And so she sent me a text over the weekend saying, it was three really difficult days that she couldn't get out of bed without help. And that when she did get out of bed, she tried to go to the dinner table so she could eat something. She was staying at her mom's and she couldn't bring herself to eat anything. And she's lost her hair and she's really struggling. That's what happens. And so this disease needs to be conquered. We need to find a cure because it affects so many people. There's Jim Kelly on the stage on Wednesday night in Los Angeles, and he's accepting the Jimmy V Award for perseverance because in 5 years, he's beaten cancer twice and is now facing it a third time, cancer in his jaw. At his football clinic on Tuesday in Western New York, he actually shared with people that the doctors found something. Something came up. That was his quote. They found something as he recovers from this latest oral surgery that has caused them to call him to New York City for a checkup. So that's where the surgery was done. And it's an unexpected checkup. This was not one that was already on the schedule. It's out of the routine. And so he's dealing with that even as he takes the stage in Los Angeles to receive this Jimmy V Award for perseverance. And as I went back and listened to it, I teared up like many of the athletes and spouses and fans who were in the audience. His voice doesn't sound the same because of all the surgeries he's had on his jaw. And yet he stands up there with the same hope and optimism and courage and boldness that we saw in him as a quarterback. Remember, he helped to lead the Bills to 4 consecutive Super Bowls. Funny enough, it was Dan Marino and John Elway who presented the award to him. And they were part of that same draft class in 1983. And he thanked John Elway on behalf of the other QBs in 83 for winning 2 Super Bowls. So their class had a couple. and he talked about the 4 F's. He said he used to live by 3, but now he has 4. And he was also talking the same thing at that football clinic on Tuesday. So we found some of that audio. Again, this is not from his speech at the ESPYs, but it's worth you hearing Jim Kelly talk about what's important to him.
Talk about the 4 F's and how that got me through. Back in the day, I lived by the 3 F's. Fun was one of them. Now I inserted, took fun out, and put faith in it because I know why I'm still here. There's no doubt that the good Lord has plans for me.
So instead of fun, he put in faith. And his 4 F's, as he explained in L.A. on Wednesday night, were faith, family, friends, and fans. And he took the time to thank his family. His daughters actually walked him up on stage. His wife, Jill, was in the audience. So thanked his family, the multiple layers of his family, his friends as well. And he mentioned a bunch of the Hall of Fame Bills who were part of those Super Bowl teams. And I a couple years ago, had a chance to do a Q&A with Thurman Thomas in Buffalo. I was brought in to, he didn't want to give a speech. He preferred a Q&A format. And so Westwood One brought me in to do this Q&A with him. And we had a sit-down conversation. And Thurman said the same thing that Jim said on Wednesday night, which is, we stay in touch constantly. The Hall of Famers from those Bills teams, the core group stays in touch nonstop. And so Jim Kelly says they have a group text going, a group chat. And he says every single day, the messages are nonstop and they drive me crazy. So he still has a sense of humor when he's up there on stage as well. And he finished with this. And this was really the main point of his speech. Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow. Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow. And he pointed to Russell Wilson, who was in the audience, and to Aaron Rodgers, who was actually on the front row. And he said, you don't have to be Russell or Aaron to make a difference. You don't have to be a famous athlete. You don't have to be a name that anyone knows outside of your own neighborhood. He said, it doesn't have to be someone who's fighting for cancer or fighting against cancer. It can be someone who's having a tough day and you smile. And he told the audience and told the national TV listeners, viewers, that the smiles that his family offer him when they walk into his hotel or his hospital room, that those are priceless because they never come in with frowns. They never come in with faces that are gripped by worry. Instead, they come in with smiles. Dad, you look so cute. Dad, you look great today. It's so good to see you, Dad, and hugs. And so his point was, make a difference today. Whatever it is that you're going through, don't give up and offer smiles to the people around you. And so to hear from Jim Kelly, to see that spirit and that fight, that was definitely inspirational. I think he's, because of what he's going through, because of what his family has gone through, they lost a son just over a decade ago to a rare disease that he was born with. Hunter was his name. The family has been through a ton, and yet they've stayed together. And Jim talks about his faith in that case because he says there's a reason for all of this. And even on Tuesday, he was humbled and honored by this award that he was about to receive.
When I looked at it and I looked at the prior recipients, I know what they've been through. In order to get the award, you had to go through a lot. And for me, and the cards and the letters and the people writing to me makes me even have a bigger smile on my face.
So your support means something to a Hall of Fame quarterback. Again, he thanked family, friends, and fans and referenced his faith. It was amazing. Also, I'm not sure if you saw this, but there were 141 women who took the stage to accept the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. They represented the survivors who spoke out about the abuse at the hand of Larry Nassar. Took place for 30 years. It included, of the young women who spoke, Allie Raceman was up there. Also, Sarah Klein, who was the original victim, the first one who ever spoke out and who got told to be quiet. It's not what you think. It just got hushed. It was very powerful, but also really emotional. And Sarah pointed out, it's great to tell our stories. We're glad that people are listening now, but it's also painful. Every single time we tell this story, it's us reliving that pain and that moment, us second guessing, us wishing that someone had listened to us when we talked about Dr. Nassar, Larry Nassar. But that was also a really neat moment from the ESPYs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.